Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Twin brothers Billy and Louis are UK singers and songwriters. They have released their EP Manifesting and they continue to lead award-winning choirs in Swindon of the UK. They reached the finals of The Voice the UK 2024 with Tom Jones mentoring them during their journey and process. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Billy and Louis.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
We are doing very well, thank you very much. We are currently in Wiltshire. It's not very sunny, but you know, we move in the UK, yeah.
Obviously, you guys are twins. Well, it's not obvious, but for the listeners, Billy and Louis are twins. So you are, I think, the fourth or fifth twin duos that I've spoken to for the podcast from different countries around the world. Being twins and creating together, how does that work and how does that flow?
Yeah, I think being a duo in any sense is always a bit different than being a solo artist. I guess, you know, or a solo person in general. I guess a solo artist, you know, they probably have a team behind them and they, you know, they write themselves and they sing themselves and stuff like that. But with us, you know, there's some two of us to contend with. So writing music is always, it's a different process, but we love it when we do it together. You know, one of us comes up with a melody, one of us comes up with like some lyrics ideas and then we just fuse it together, which is really cool. So it's a really collaborative process all the time. In fact, our whole lives are just sort of a bit of a collaboration because there's two of us. But it's always a really cool thing, I think, you know, to have somebody that's the same as you, a bit different.
Okay, so at what age did you guys realize, cool, that you are both singers, creators? And how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I think we were quite young when we first realized that we wanted to be performers and work creatively all the time. I think it was definitely going in secondary school when suddenly there were lots of different opportunities that we could try, you know, loads of different roads that you could go down because suddenly the world was all there. So it was really cool that sort of period of time working out, you know, what different avenues are available to us. And we'd never really experienced that before. So actually, yeah, I'd say probably like 11 or 12, we were like, I think we could do something musical. Yeah, I mean, we probably weren't that good, to be fair, but, you know, we absolutely loved it. And it was the best thing ever. And we were so lucky to be supported by so many people around us who actually wanted to help us help us achieve.
You had this inclination at 12. And then what were the next steps? Obviously, you finished school. And then how did the next steps align for you to approach it as a proper career?
In the music industry, you just got to sort of go straight into it if you want to be successful in this industry. And I think for us, that meant, you know, starting our career during school, actually.
Yeah.
So all the way through school, we were doing things, you know, gigging, performing all the time. And we did a radio competition, actually, when we were maybe 14, I think. And then that, you know, brought on some new opportunities. And then finally, in 2020, we did Little Mix of Search, which was really cool. It was a TV show where they were looking for bands and, you know, acts to sort of start up a band. And that was really cool for us. It was such a sort of a career defining moment, and it just allowed a whole sort of wave of fans and supporters to join our journey as well. And then, you know, we finished school and continued singing and found our love for teaching singing as well and arranging music and working with choirs as well. So that was really cool. And then obviously, you know, about a few months ago anyway, we did The Voice UK, which was really cool, such a pivotal moment in our music career. And it was a you know, another career-defining moment where we've a whole new way.
Yeah,
supporters and fans joined our journey again, which has been really cool. Yeah,
you said you referenced that you teach music. What do you mean by that?
After we finished school, you know, pretty much all of our school life, we were keeping homework and stuff very much below the list of priorities. everything was music, and we were always gigging, and you know, that was always our priority, and we just loved it so much. So After school, we were like, what are we actually going to do with our lives? You know, we're performing a lot, but we could do some more stuff. But we wanted to keep it in the music industry. And that was where we decided that we put our love for creating music and arranging music into play with other people. So we started teaching. We we were 16 actually when we first put together our first choir, which was so cool. We absolutely loved it. We just, I don't know, it's such a weird way of happening. We just decided that we wanted to do it and just randomly did it. And it all worked out and people loved it. It was amazing. And from there, we've just decided that we wanted to, you know, pass on our love for all of this stuff and hopefully people enjoy it, mm-hmm. which they very much do. So I think because we're twins, we obviously love harmonies and, yeah, you know, complex music arrangements. So it's really cool for us to be able to, you know, find a huge group of people and, you know, not where there's not just two of us and we can chuck loads of harmonies in and it's, yeah, really cool and complex. So, but yeah, we love teaching in that way and we teach privately as well. And we mentor a few sort of artists who are hoping to sort of step up into the music industry a bit more. So, but yeah, we love every moment of it.
Yeah. The choir that you started when you were 16, is that choir still going?
They are going strong. Okay. They are very strong. They started out as 5 members and I believe we're now probably about 50.
So oh, well.
It's very intense, but it's very cool. And the sound that you can create with so many voices, it's just amazing. And, you know, they help us out with all our tracks. Whenever we need, like, a gospel choir in the back of our songs or something like that, they are there. Yeah. They're always there to help us with stuff like that. So it's so good to have that at your fingertips. And, yeah, I think just having that creative outlet, you know, not all the time, you can't all the time be writing and releasing music. So having a creative outlet that you can just, you know, chuck some stuff at people and they'll create it. It's just great.
And are you still actively involved in that specific choir or you just sort of collaborate when you guys can?
Yeah, we're very much involved.
Okay.
I don't think I could ever wait for step away. No, I'm much too much of a control freak. We love it though. Yeah, it is part of our daily sort of thoughts. We're always thinking about what we could give to the choir, yeah. How we could get them involved with our music, because mm-hmm. there's nothing better than a sound of a really full, amazing choir. Mm-hmm. Louis said it's a really nice break away from, you know, the norm of our lives and yeah. You know, writing and releasing and producing and admin, which we love so much. but you know, it's really nice just to step away from that and you know, have fun with a bunch of like-minded ladies who love to sing. We love it.
Was that a bit of sarcasm I noted about the admin work?
Yeah, no, I don't do any of it. He doesn't do any of it. That's why I'm so bitter about the whole situation. No, it's all good. I guess with any job comes a load of things.
Yeah. You referenced a little bit earlier about your creative process. So let's dive that into that a little bit more. From 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what invigorates it? What motivates it? Is it easy every time? Do you guys always do it together? Do you bring other people into the equation? Let's unpack your creative brains.
Yeah, I think the process is always really strange for when there's someone going to be singing the song that is more than one person. You have to take inspiration from multiple different places, I think. You know, it can't just be a single experience. So for us, it's always a bit of an inhibitor because if we've got a personal experience, it's difficult to share it completely with another person, like a solo artist. So we find that we take a lot of inspiration from films, other music, yeah, loads of different sort of situations that not just one person can relate to. And I think that always comes across really nicely with listeners because it's sort of more of a universal experience that people can, you know, listen in and think, I relate to that. So yeah, it's really interesting actually, and we love to collaborate with other people too. Our EP that we released last year, Manifesting, was a collaboration with us and our lovely producer. So yeah, it was yeah, we love doing that, and it speeds up the process when there's more people working together.
Yeah
I think though it never gets easier. I think, yeah, in fact, it just gets harder. I guess that's just the perfectionist in us, you know, always seeking something that is, you know, we have a vision to start off with and, you know, we don't want to stray from that vision. And I guess because we're so similar, that vision is sort of unanimous.
Yeah.
We have this vision and we want to make it absolutely perfect. So I guess songwriting just takes longer and longer each time. It takes us so long to create a song. But when we do, we love it.
Is it harder now because potentially you've been creating and you might be like sort of comparing what you've done to what you want to release, or is that not coming into play at all?
Yes, that is such a good question. That is so interesting, actually. We are always in this battle of, we've released this, But do we want to release it? Like, what? Do we actually want to write? We were having this conversation the other day. The songs and the music that we listen to is very specific and very varied as well, I'd say. Very varied and different to what we perform, actually. And I think we would love one day to actually, tap into performing what we would normally listen to, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think our goal one day, the biggest goal is to actually create a song that we would listen to. Like, you know, that takes in all of our influences that we would actually chuck on the radio instead of, just love performing because we love all of our material. But, you know, actually, you know, loving it for the music that it is would be really cool.
What label or genre would you say your music is that you release? And what do you listen to on the radio?
I'd say our music is poppy. It's pop soul. It's pop soul. Yeah. Definitely pop soul. I mean, we're always inspired by soul music. The greats like Aretha Franklin, Etta James, James Brown, they're all our you know, main inspirations. And then, you know, listening to like Christina Aguilera and Anastasia and even Bruno Mars, they're soul artists. So we've always listened to them and taken inspiration from them. And I guess that's sort of what we do. But what we listen to is different. We obviously listen to that side of music, especially the older stuff. But we like blues. We love jazz at the moment. We love country music. We love Stevie Nicks, all sort of random stuff. Yeah, every element of music that is slightly more obscure and slightly more niche is what we listen to. It's crazy. Nothing mainstream, really.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I don't even listen to like powerhouse vocalists. I listen to like...
Yeah, we're in a weird sort of folky country stage, which is fun.
Yeah, but so that might one day translate into
you. Yeah, when you bring new energy into the equation in your creative process, so obviously you guys have been living with each other forever since you were both born. You're very similar with minds and stuff, and all that whole twin stuff. But when you bring some different energy into the room when creating, does it take a moment for you guys to get used to that new energy and that new person? Or because you're so used to each other that it's not a long process. It's just like, okay, we know each other. Let's just dive in with this new person.
That's a really good question. I think because of us and because of our twin connection, it's almost like just working with one person.
Yeah.
It's not really like working with two different entities. It is really like just working with one person. So I think when we introduce another person to this demographic.
Yeah, writing, collaboration.
It's just, it's a really cool process. And you know, we have ideas that we'd never usually have. We don't have, they help them and they influence our sort of our process,
I'd say.
Yeah, it's a cool process. I love it, actually. Collaborating with people is one of our favorite things. I think that's why we've always loved like the choir and performing with other people. And I guess you'd probably expect us to have different ideas because there's two of us.
But no, we are the same.
So that whole twin thing is a reality.
Oh, it is. Do you know what? It would be helpful if we had different ideas.
Okay, so let's unpack. You may reference a couple of competitions. You said in 2020 you did the Little Mix competition, is that correct?
Yeah,
so what
the search.
Little Mix search. So was that related to the band Little Mix?
The premise of the show was Little Mix were looking for a new band to support them on tour, I think, was the final prize. So we just thought we'd go for it. We just turned 16 at the time, and I think we were just interested in, you know, trying something, getting an audition, seeing how it went, really. We'd already done so much, but actually taking it to a different level.
Yeah.
Just something different was really cool. We really like Little Mix as well. We think they're really cool. And it was just going to be really exciting to perform to some new people, work with new people and see what happened. And we did it and it was really cool.
We did.
We got through to, what stage was it? Like the third stage, which was like the band performance.
That's awesome.
Something like that. And it was just so cool. Like, you know, we learned so much about us and creating music and again, working with new people. I don't think a band is for us, but, you know, we worked that out and it was cool. I think our critique was be amazing to hear some more stuff as just a duo, which, of course, we have massively done since then.
Yeah.
Okay, so now tell us about The Voice UK. What was inspiration to enter that, and how's that journey been?
Oh, that was a crazy journey. It was a bit of an unexpected moment to say that we were going to do The Voice. I feel like since when we did Little Mix Search, we sort of said to each other, we probably won't do anything like this again. You know, we've had our time on TV. You know, it's unlikely we'd ever do something like that again. But then
they, you know, sort of came to us and were like, are you interested in it? And they'd asked us a few times and we thought, actually, maybe this is the year for us, you know. Yeah. Probably about 2 or 3 years in a row, we always say, oh, maybe we should do it. And then we always back out of the minute. So we finally said yes. And we just decided to do it. And it was really cool. I mean, we've loved everything so far. And obviously, we're through to the final. And, you know, it's been really cool to meet all the amazing artists are on it, as well as the incredible coaches. I mean, being mentored by Sir Tom Jones has been
so cool.
We've loved it so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I understanding correctly that not only do shows like these, because I think a lot of people don't know this, as an individual, I can enter if I'd like to, but also they reach out to people like yourselves to ask them to enter. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course. So there's an application process, which is a formality that everyone has to go through. But people working on the show are always looking for such a varied mixture of different talent,
to be seeking really good vocalists.
Because it's primarily looking for great talent. So they're just looking for such a wide variety, and obviously sifting through these applications and stuff. So I suppose twins are quite unusual in general. So although apparently not, because there were 3 sets of twins on this season.
Oh, okay.
Including us. But, you know, we had such a great time and we're so glad that we did say yes to them. And we did go with this application process because it was so cool.
Yeah.
Is the application process quite intense or sort of just simple?
I think we just sailed through it. We had a lovely time.
We did, yeah.
We met some great people.
Yeah.
I think from the start, we were always thinking, you know, our mindset was like, if it comes off, it comes off. If it doesn't, then never mind. So we were just easy breezy about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Here we are. And I find, I think the voice now, because it's been going for 13 years, it's sort of becoming a place where really talented musicians can come and just showcase what they do.
Huh.
I think it's almost losing the sense of like high profile competition where everyone's expected to do really well and it's really tense and stuff. And I think it's just turning into a really nice supportive place where amazing vocalists can actually show off their talents. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So that's why we said yes.
And also just to leverage off of it, because I get an understanding from a lot of the artists that I've spoken to. Finalists from The Voice, winners from The Voice, X Factor, BGT, some of them like have had expectations that once it's finished, the telephone's not going to stop ringing. And for some of them, a couple of them, that was never the case. It just like, so just also having not having those expectations, just like using for what it is for the period that it's on and done and leveraging off of that and pushing from that and not having expectations of the end result, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so true.
That's
so true. I think, you know, it's so good to go into something like this with the, with no expectations at all and just, you know, ride it and just have a good time, as well as obviously, you know, using it for promotion and to promote your career. But, you know, I think out of everything, we just had the most amazing
year
on it, and it was so good to work with everybody that, you know, we'll always hold out with us. It was,
and I think deep down, we're just creative people. So any opportunity to get creative with new people, new styles, new opportunities is just absolutely what we love.
Yeah.
And I think that should always be the resounding reason that you want to do something new like this is, because you want to just explore further creativity and challenge yourself even more. So that's been the most phenomenal part of this journey, is actually, you know, improving ourselves and working on what we love.
Yeah.
Just, you know, doing everything that we love.
Yeah.
But it's on TV, so that's great.
Yeah. So why did you choose Sir Tom Jones?
It was a tough decision.
Yeah.
We talked through all of five coaches. We've got the Tom and Danny on the joint chair, and we talked through them, and we thought, you know, probably Tom Jones was going to be the most in tune with our vocal style, you know. And then we thought maybe Leanne Rimes would be, because she's, although she's a country singer, she's got a very strong voice, and you know, we were torn between the two. But on stage, you know, they all turned and we were like, oh my god, what do we do now? It was crazy. So we had a little moment to chat and just decided to go for Ewan Jones, because we thought he's a legend. Stick true to our instincts, and he really is a legend.
So I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. I love the aesthetic of holding something, the journey of the choice, the journey of the unpacking, the booklet, the listening from song 1 to 10 or 15. I'm not sure if you're aware that CDs, even cassettes and vinyls, are making a massive comeback. Vinyls alone last year in the UK, 5.9 million copies sold, the biggest since 1990. And cassettes and CDs are also on an upward trajectory. But we've also got these streaming platforms whereby people consume music on. What is your observation and perception of the landscape at the moment?
Oh, that is so interesting. I love that question. That's so cool.
Yeah, well, we love a CD. We love something physical. We can't listen to anything else in our car because we only have a CD player. You have a CD player in yours, and my car is even older. I have a cassette player. So I'm just trying to...
I guess we're forced to listen to music that way. But I know what you mean. I love the whole physical aspect of a CD and
opening it up.
Yeah, the artwork and stuff. And, you know, I absolutely adore that. And I think in a way, we don't really listen to a lot of music on streaming platforms and on YouTube. And that's probably why.
But yeah,
we just like the physical idea of, you know, listening to a whole big body of work.
Yep. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the industry nowadays is so sort of geared towards singles and, you know, hyping up an artist with their single release. And, you know, albums and EPs and LPs are sort of, you know, a thing of the past, really. But we, you know, we power through that. We still make lots of music and stuff. And we do have CDs as well, which we love. And
yeah.
I think it's nice to, and I think the people that listen to our music tend to be sort of not our age group. So it's nice to have physical copies for them because they like.
Yeah, I think I love where it's going with the sort of nostalgia of everything. And I think it's kind of a gimmick in a sense that it's like, oh, let's do something retro. But I think people love that. And if it's a gimmick, then I'm here for it because it's so cool. But yeah, it's a shame that everything's online. But I love that it's starting to make a comeback and people are liking it, not because they have to listen to it, but because they actually appreciate something physical now. So I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And I think music will always be around. It although it changes form, it will never really change too much. So yeah, I think it's all cool.
What is next? What's happening short term and long term?
Well, we've got the final to go for The Voice. Which will be very interesting. We get to perform with the Sir Tom Jones, which will be very cool. And then after that, we've got some very cool stuff coming up. We are finally getting back into a creative space and writing some new music. We're going to get back into the studio and do some really cool stuff. A few collaborations we're going to do with that. And so we're just really excited to have a bit of time to ourselves to, because obviously it's been so crazy with The Voice. But, you know, time to ourselves just to get into a creative mindset. And write some more music. But we're also going to do some live performances. We've got a huge thing in our sort of local area in Wiltshire. It's like a theatre that we're performing in with our band and some dancers. And it's going to be like a full-on concert, which I'm so excited for. We've never really done it on that scale before. We've got to sell like 650 seats, whatever it is. So that's fun. But I think we're getting there slowly. So that's a big focus. And yeah, I think we'll just see where things take us.
Yeah.
We don't have too many rigid plans at the moment, but we've had such a great time working on our craft, doing The Voice and stuff like that. It's actually nice to get back into the mindset of, you know, writing, releasing, rehearsing, all that jazz. So it's very cool. And yeah, it's just exciting and not to be pinned down by any like rigid plans is quite a nice way to be.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 8 years, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I recognize that and I understand that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. But if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom?
Okay. Christina Aguilera. Gosh, this is so hard. Aretha Franklin. Oh, this is hard, isn't it? Wow. Okay. Tracy Chapman. I can't decide. Two more. Because there's so many other artists, I'm just going to have to choose two. Okay, why am I looking at you? I can't look at you. Michael Kiwanuka. Let's go for Michael Kiwanuka. And Stevie Nicks.
Your turn.
Okay. Christina Aguilera. Aretha Franklin. George Michael.
Oh.
This is quite difficult, actually. Anastasia and Dolly Parton.
Oh, and I didn't think of Dolly. I love Dolly.
So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say, you know, be creative as possible. Music is so achievable and it's such an amazing part of life and the world. And obviously listen to our music by Billy and Louie. Because it'll change your lives. No, I'm joking. Well, it might do. You never know. But that would be my final message.
Louis?
I think get as creative as possible because we have such a fab time doing that. And, you know,
get into listening to music again, because it's so clear that everyone just hears music on TikTok or, you know, the one song that plays over and over on the radio. So get creative and explore different realms of music, and find really what makes you happy. And I love that. So that would be my final message. And of course, listen to our music, because, you know, we've got some tunes out there. So, yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.